I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight in Tim's absence. I don't do this as often as I used to, so if I've gotten rusty, just forgive me. I promise you we're not going to be here for all 10,000 of the prayers that I'm suggesting that we pray for our nation. Marie Dye told me she has to be home in bed by 9:30, so I promise that you'll be out by then. My job is to raise money for schools and athletic teams and clubs and so on. And so most days, at least 10 to 15 times a day, I'll ask the question, how much money do you need? And how much do you need? And the question's always answered, well, how much can you give me? I usually step through a formula. You know, what's realistic for your group? How can we get there? Let's make a plan. And so some programs have a lot of needs. Let's look here, just an idea real quick. Point it the wrong way, probably. Well, we might look at money for the rest of the night. I think Mike's going to help me out there. So here's an idea of a formula we might go through. We have 700 students in our school. How much money can we really expect to raise? Well, you figure about 70% involvement. If you have a good fundraiser like me, you might have 70% involvement. So we'll have 490 kids raising money, 490 students. If each one sold 7 items, that's 3,430 items sold. And at $8 a profit, that's over $27,000 for that school. Sometimes I walk in and programs have a lot of needs. And part of my job is to point out needs for certain programs. And so I may go in and say, you know, coach, the coach over at this school, you know, we helped him purchase some weightlifting equipment, and now their athletes are, you know, they've shown a real difference on the field. Or hey, Mrs. Principal, you know, I helped this school purchase new iPads, and now they're able to do this, 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 and this. But sometimes when I walk into, and most times when I walk into a locker room or into a school, it's not hard to find needs. Many schools in our area have glaring needs, and funding is always tight. And if any of you have worked in the school system, you know that funding's tight. It's hard to get the money that you need for schools. And when we look at the world around us, in our own country, there's glaring needs, aren't there? Just in the last few weeks, we've seen racial division and hatred that can well up inside a person to where they're so filled with evil and anger and hatred that they'll get behind the wheel of an automobile and drive straight into crowds of people. There's poverty in our area, especially in our own backyard here in Appalachia, where the coal mines and industries have left town, and depression that most in our country don't care to see has really set in some of these towns and counties, and a lot of you know about those. In fact, just last week I was talking to a teacher in Scott County, Virginia. She was telling me that there's a few of her students that don't even have running water, and a lot of you know Scott County is probably, compared to maybe Dickinson or Buchanan County, Virginia, or even Harlan County, Kentucky, Scott County's doing pretty good. We've seen in our country rioting over the last couple of years that's occurred for numerous reasons. People burning buildings and businesses and cars in the streets, people fighting all the time. And saddest of all, we've seen many who have just completely turned their back on God. Not just turned their back on God, but say that God's the problem. In fact, I read an article this morning in a magazine that one lady was talking about all the things that, all the problems from Charlottesville and all the problems in our world with different things going on, and concluded at the end of the article, the biggest problem facing our nation is Christianity. And that's the root of all the hate, and that's the root of all the evil. What a sad, sad thing. What an awful thing to say. People who don't really know what they need. People who don't understand the message of Christ. We're a nation of glaring needs. What do we need? We need all the prayers. We need all the prayers we can get. It reminds me of the song, "Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night today. Don't forget to pray." And the verse that was just read for us in James 5:16, we know that prayer works. The Bible tells us that prayer works. The prayer of an effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if we break this down like it were a fundraiser, if we were to break this down like a fundraiser, I know we have more than 100 people here tonight, but I know that we can have 100 people that will agree with me to do this. If 100 people prayed 3 extra prayers a day until the month of October, so 34 days through the rest of this month and all of next month, that would be 10,200 prayers. What could we do? What could God do with 10,200 extra prayers? So that's our challenge. I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight what we can do, what we can be praying with those 10,000 prayers, and how we can actually make that happen. But if each one of us just prayed 3 extra prayers a day, can you imagine the change that we could see? What could happen? Would the world change? Will the country change? Do you think that godless leaders would suddenly become faithful? I don't think that that would necessarily happen. But it's a small step, and I think what we'd really see is we could see a lot of change in us. We could see a lot of change in the people around us because of our example, because of how we're acting and what we're doing. So can we do it is the question. And we'll talk a little bit here in a minute about what we're going to be praying for. But if I was in front of 200 elementary school students right now, and I said, "Can we do it?" I'd ask you to raise your hands, and then I'd get the t-shirt cannon out, and I'd start shooting t-shirts to you and throwing candy at you. But I don't have candy, and I don't have t-shirts, so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But I think we can do it. Do you agree? You can just nod your head. Can we all pray 3 extra prayers? Because I think that if we do that, I think some amazing things can happen. So what I want to do is, just for the next few minutes, talk about 3 extra prayers every day that we can pray for a better nation. So, for the week of August 27th, starting today, so you have 3 prayers to pray today and 3 prayers to pray every day for the rest of this week. For a better nation, I need you to pray for you. The picture up here, a lot of you have seen this happen on the airplane before, right? The stewardess gets up and he or she demonstrates the oxygen mask, right? And they always say, put your oxygen mask on first and then help your children or the people beside you or the people that are having trouble. Why do they say that? Why do they say, put your oxygen mask on first? Because if you don't have oxygen, you can't help someone else who needs oxygen. Now there's 2 people who can't get a mask on. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, first take the log out of your own eye, then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your own brother's eye. So if we're praying for our country, if we're going to say 10,000 prayers for a better nation, I think the first prayers need to start with us. That we need to start praying for a better us. So for the week of August 27th, I hope you can see this. The first prayer that you should pray, I think, every day is to be a better Christian. Psalm 51:10, I think we could pray like David tonight when we get home. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Can you imagine if we prayed that, if we prayed that prayer every day of our life, the changes that could be made, that God could make in us, if that thought was just on our mind, I want a clean heart, I want a pure heart, I want the right spirit within me. Help me, God. If we can pray like that, if our neighbors can see us trying to put that in our life, what could that mean for our country? Or like David prayed in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead in the way of everlasting. Search me, O God. I love that because it's almost, to me, it's like going to the doctor for a checkup, right? Because when I go, I want to know everything. Don't hide anything from me. If I'm sick, I want to know about it. If there's something wrong, let's try to fix it. Search me, O God. Is there something? Am I doing something wrong? Am I being offensive? Am I being hateful? Search me, know my heart, and create in me that clean heart. I think 2, this week. The second prayer that we pray this week is to be a better neighbor. Look at Exodus chapter 23 with me. Exodus chapter 23, we're just going to look at verse 4 and 5 here. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. Now, this may, for some of us here, this could actually be a real issue, right? I remember, for those of you that live in the county or live on farms or live near farms, this could be an actual thing that could happen to you. I remember growing up in Abingdon, our neighbor, all his cows always got into our yard and sometimes into the road. And it was always seemed like a real burden for my dad to have to go out and help him get his cows back into the pasture. No doubt some of us live in the situation where that could be an issue, but a lot of us don't. So what is this? How does this apply to us? I think it still can, right? Man, the neighbor's yard is so high again. When will he ever mow it? Well, looks like the neighbor's having car problems. Wonder what they're going to do about it. Looks like the neighbor's finally getting around to cutting down that dead tree in their yard. I wonder how he's ever going to get it done on his own. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to be a good neighbor, and we sit there and watch that neighbor cutting on that tree while we sip that glass of iced tea. I wonder how he's ever going to get that done. There's plenty of opportunities to be a good neighbor. A lot of times it takes us out of our comfort zone. A lot of times it makes us have to do things we're uncomfortable doing. Let's pray to God this week that we can be a good neighbor, a better neighbor, a helpful neighbor. Romans 13, or excuse me, we need to pray that we can be a better citizen. In Romans chapter 13, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." Now, I don't usually read the version of the Bible called the Message, but I thought it had a really good translation in this verse. It says, be a good citizen. Be a good citizen. That's really what I think is being written there, where it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Be a good citizen. Be a model citizen. Pay your taxes on time. Obey the law. Obey the speed limit. Respect authority. Do what you're supposed to be doing. And sometimes I think people would say, really though? Really? Do we really have to be a good citizen all the time? What if our government is just ultra liberal or ultra conservative or fill in the blank? What if our country is just doing things that are so against what I believe? Then do we have to be a good citizen? You know, when this was written, obviously Christians living in Rome were being killed by Rome. And yet they're still being told, be a good citizen. Now, I don't think it's worse for us yet. The government isn't killing us for our Christianity. I think we still need to be a good citizen. So this week, pray for you. This week, pray for you. Tonight when you go home, pray to be a better Christian, pray to be a better neighbor, and pray to be a better citizen. Second, the week of September 3rd, pray for your family and your friends. In 1 Kings 8:58, if you want to turn with me, turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon has just finished praying, and now he addresses the people, and we'll begin at verse 56. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made my supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel of each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments at this day. Pray for our friends. Pray for our family. Pray like Solomon prayed, that they have a strengthened relationship with God, that they put God first, that they keep his statutes, that they keep his commandments. Pray for our friends and family, that they are people of love. Look at John 13, 35. And by the way, we've got a lot of references in this, and there's a lot of points, but we're going to move through them pretty quick, but we're going to be bouncing around from a lot of different scriptures. John 13, 35, we see Jesus talking about, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Pray for your friends and family that they be a people of love. Pray for yourself that you be a person of love, but pray for your friends and family. You want your family to be known as people of love. And while we're talking about people being known, look over at Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, we see going on in Ephesus, the church at Ephesus is just getting started. In verse 23, it says, "About that time there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers in a similar occupation and said, 'Men, you know that we have prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul is persuaded and turned away many people, saying they are not gods, which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship.'" Can you imagine? Can you imagine how awesome that could have been, that Christianity was sweeping the world so strong that the news, when it got to Ephesus, the people who were making idols and gods were scared because they were scared they were going to go out of business. Can you imagine being a Christian known for the people who put Diana out of business, who put the idol makers out of business? What could we be known for here in Johnson City? Could we be known for the people who were so strong in our faith that it was really hard for bars to operate in Johnson City because our influence on other people made them want to be here on Sunday morning so they weren't out late on Sunday or Saturday night? Could we be the city in Johnson City or the city in Tennessee that was so committed to serving God that terrible things like pornography just didn't exist that much here because there was no place for it? Could we be a place where there wasn't a lot of hungry people because there's a lot of generosity and a lot of love in our community that we pass around? Let's be known for something. Let the church here be known for something. Let's be known for more than, oh, they're the people that don't use instruments, or they're the people that take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Let's be known for something greater. Let's be known for the love of Christ. Let's be known for standing for the truth. So on September 3rd, the week of September 3rd, we're going to pray for our family. We're going to pray for our friends. The week of September 10th, let's pray for our city. There's a song that we sing at camp sometimes, and I think I'm going to mess the guy's name up, so I'm not going to try to tell you who wrote it. But this is a great song. The lyrics say, "You're the God of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the king of this nation. You are." And then the chorus says, "For greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city." And you sing that song like almost like a prayer. You are the God of this city. And guess what? Whether people want to choose to admit it, whether people want to say, oh, God is the problem, Christianity is the problem, he's still the God of this city. He's still the king of this nation. Whether people want to respect him or recognize him as such, he still is there. And so this week, the week of September 10th, let's pray for our city. And when we pray for our city, let's pray for good soil. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we have the, the parable of the sower, and we know about when Jesus is talking about the sower that goes out to sow, and there's many different kinds of ground that he sows on. And then we'll pick up in verse 23, because he's explaining the parable, and he says, but he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's pray that we can have a city of good soil. You know, we've had a great opportunity. We've had a great opportunity in the last few weeks when we saw a lot of soil last month during SOS. We saw a lot of people sitting here in these seats that want to hear the Word of God, that have a lot of needs that we can help. And here in the next few weeks, we're going to have opportunities to follow up on some of that soil with cards, with phone calls, with visits. Let's pray that we have good soil. Let's pray that we find good soil, that as we're spreading the Word of God, it can sprout up. You know, the statistics are pretty alarming with Christianity in general, with church attendance in general, with people who, especially within the Church of Christ, and the trend is not trending up. We're not adding a whole lot of members. We're not adding a lot of Christians worldwide, at least in the United States. We have a great opportunity with some great soil right now in our town, in our city, to really reach the lost, to really tell them the story of Jesus. Pray that our city can grow through diversity. And Johnson City is very culturally diverse, and this is a pretty tough one for me, because outside of our city, in fact, not very far outside of our city, there isn't a whole lot of diversity. There's not a lot of diversity. If you get into Appalachia, there's not a lot of diversity in thought. There's not a lot of diversity in religion or skin color or culture. And it's much more comfortable to believe that we aren't really diverse. It's much more comfortable to believe that, you know, we're not really diverse. There's just some, you know, some hippies in the city that are making some noise about diversity. But the truth is, we are diverse, and we can grow from diversity. In Romans 2, verse 11, it says, there's no partiality. There is no partiality with God. So why should there be any partiality with us? Like I said, this is a very hard one, and it has to start with us. It has to start with me. If we look around our building tonight, we all pretty much look the same. But on Saturday, a few weeks ago, these pews were filled with people who looked a lot different from the crowd that's here tonight. A lot different in their dress, a lot different in their backgrounds, a lot different in their experiences. We have an opportunity to grow as people, to grow as a congregation, to grow as Christians through our diversity. And we need to really take advantage of that. Like I said, it's tough for me, and it may be uncomfortable for a lot of us. It's not how we're geared and how we're wired, but we have a great opportunity to do that, and we need to take advantage of it. Galatians 3:28 says, there is no Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. You know, there is no rich or poor, no Democrat or Republican, white or black, south side or north side, county or city. We're all one in Christ Jesus, and we need to remember that. We need to take advantage of that and grow through our diversity. Then we need to pray for our local leaders and our teachers, our police officers, EMT, firefighters, all of those. Romans 13 says they are ordained by God. They all have thankless and very tough jobs, very important jobs protecting our city, teaching our children, and a lot of responsibilities. We need to pray for those who've taken leadership roles in our city, and we need to let them know that we're praying for them. We need to let your children's teachers know, hey, I prayed for you. You know, they may not like to have prayer in school, but they can't stop you from praying for them, right? So on the week of September 10th, let's pray for our city, pray for good soil, pray for growth through diversity, and pray for our leaders. And then on the week of September 17th, we're going to pray for our state. The week of September 17th, pray for our state. The first one I have here is our elected officials. And I suggest that, again, that we let them know that we're praying for them. And here's the addresses for each one. And I had to abbreviate Jonesboro, Blountville, and Nashville, but I figured most of y'all would understand what those abbreviations meant. If you don't have time to write them down tonight, I'm sure we can put them on the church's Facebook page for you to do that. I think it would be good for us to let them know that, hey, we're praying for you. And could you imagine if they got a whole bunch of cards in 1 week from Central Church of Christ? We're praying for you this week. So we're going to pray for Dr. Rowe, for Bob Corker. And, you know, Senator Corker's been in the news a lot lately, and agree or disagree with him and what he's said and stood for, he could really use our prayers right now. Lamar Alexander, Governor Haslam, all these men could use our prayers. And so let's pray for them on the week of September 17th. But also, let's pray for safety and prosperity in our state. And a lot of people think prosperity, isn't that kind of a bad thing to pray for? I think if we pray for it the right way, it's not bad. You look at things that are going on in Houston and in Texas right now, and that's pretty rough. I don't want those things to happen here in Tennessee. Can we pray that God keeps us safe and is able to maintain our economy and keep our jobs and keep us, you know, to where we can have food on the table? I don't think there's a problem with that at all. David prayed in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He also prayed in Psalm 118, verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. And in Psalm 23, of course, we know that David said that his cup runs over. Is it okay for us to pray for prosperity? I think so. Should we pray for a Ferrari? I don't know about that. We can pray for safety. We can pray for our daily bread. We can pray for faithful children. We can pray that we continue to have a safe place to sleep at night. And then I put on here, when we pray for our state, that we pray that our state continues in its volunteer heritage. Now this week, for September 17th, on the 16th, the Vols will be in Florida, so hopefully we're not praying for we don't have to pray for the Volunteers when they come back on that Sunday. They'll do all right on their own. But Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. And we know that Tennessee has a great tradition of generosity and helping others. When we know about the history of our state and the different, and of course we are the volunteer state, the different people that have done things over history to help others. Just in this congregation, I know we've sent money and volunteers to Louisiana after Katrina. We sent volunteers to Haiti after Hurricane. We've sent volunteers to California after wildfires. And this is fulfilling the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, when he said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me, sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then verse 40 said, assuredly I say, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You know, our congregation is very involved in prison work. Our congregation is very involved in helping others. In the prayer tonight, Chig even prayed for those in Texas. And what can we, already thinking, what can we do to help? What can we do to help those in need? Pray that our state continues with that mindset, that the people in our state are proud to be helpers, are proud to be volunteers. That's a very good, noble thing. Let's pray that we continue that. So the week of September 17th, let's pray for our elected leaders. Let's pray for our safety and prosperity in our state. And let's pray to continue a volunteer spirit. Finally, the week of September 24th, let's pray for our nation. We'll pray for our elected officials. We've already looked at Romans 13. They are ordained by God. Pray for President Trump and for Vice President Pence. And when we pray for them, don't pray a selfish prayer. Don't pray, I hope they start or continue to pass policies I agree with. Don't pray that kind of thing. Pray that they come to know the truth. Pray for their health. Pray for their families. Pray for them as individual peoples. Agree with them or not, they deserve those kinds of prayers. And then pray that our nation is a nation that seeks peace. Psalm 34:14, David says, seek peace and pursue it. We can't just find peace. We can't just say, oh, there's peace. We have to constantly pursue it. Peace is a battle. Peace is a process, and it's a never-ending process. We always have to work at peace. And I'm not saying this I'm not saying pray for peace and that we, as any kind of political stance on anything that's going on in our nation. I think at the end of the day, if we all had our choice, we'd rather have peace, right? And I understand that sometimes peace comes with conflict when you have, villainous people, I guess, in the world. But we all want peace, and I think that's the thing that we can definitely be praying for. And then finally, pray for our enemies. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 through 48, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You know, we have a lot of enemies right now. The United States does. Terrorism is rampant. There's a lot of people in the world who would like to see us hurting, failing. We need to pray for our enemies. There's North Korea. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for the people in North Korea and the leaders in North Korea that seemingly really want bad for us. Jesus says we need to be praying for them, and it's not always easy. Sometimes it's easier to pray for the enemy in North Korea than it is for the enemy that on our own street. But we need to pray for all our enemies. And so this week, the week of the 24th, pray for the elected officials, pray for peace, and pray for our enemies. We have a lot to be praying for. If everyone could pray those three prayers each week, every day, then by the start of October, we'll have 10,000 extra prayers that would be prayed that wouldn't have already been prayed. Some of you are going to be praying some of those prayers anyway. But can we commit to praying every single day those three prayers? It won't take us a lot of time, but it can make a really, really big difference. That's our challenge. 10,000 prayers. By the month of October, we've prayed 10,000 extra prayers. Now, could we increase this? There might be closer to 150, 200 people here tonight. If we doubled that number, there's 20,000 prayers. If you prayed them all six times a day, that would be 40,000 prayers. If we could encourage some more of our congregation, we could probably get to 100,000 prayers. What could we do with that? You know, God can do amazing, amazing things with prayer when we ask Him. Too many times we don't. We try to solve things on our own, and we don't give Him the respect for the power that He has. Could you imagine? We might have problems with this slide again. Can you imagine if I walked into a school and they said, well, how much money can you give me? And I said, as much as you want. And I started just throwing down bills on their desk, maybe stacks of bills, thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe $1 million. I'm sure I would be the most popular fundraiser in the world if I could do that, but I can't. And some people think I might have that ability, but I don't, because money is finite. And even the richest people in the world, even the wealthiest people in the world, have to have self-control in their finances. And you hear about celebrities all the time who had all kinds of money and made all kinds of money in their careers that now don't have anything to show for it because they wasted it all over time. But the good news for us is that prayer is limitless. 10,000 prayers, like I said, is a very conservative goal for us. We could do 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 prayers. And what could it do for us? Remember the song, "Oh, how praying rests the weary." Can we be more confident 34 days from now? Can we be more confident in our eternity? Can we have less depression? Can we have less anxiety? I think all those things can be accomplished. I'm excited to hear what you have to say in 34 days. I'm excited to tell you in 34 days how it's changed me. I think if we can all take this challenge, though, I think we will see changes, and we can start to change our nation and change our country by changing us. Tonight, are you weary? We can get that one off now. Something's wrong with that slide. Are you weary tonight? Are you weary tonight? God can do incredible things through prayer. God can do incredible things through prayer. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you're depressed, if you're lonely, if you're hurting, if you're worried, God can help you. He can save your soul tonight. If you haven't been washed in the blood of Christ for the remission of your sins, you can do that tonight. And if you have needs in your life that you would like to be included on our list of 10,000 prayers, I'm sure we can do that too. I'm sure that our loving brothers and sisters here would love to add you to their prayer list among the other 10,000 things that we'll be praying for, or the 10,000 prayers that we'll be praying over the next 34 days. Whatever your need may be, please come as together we stand and sing.